Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. And what a blessing it's been already being in the Lord's house today. And I trust you've been encouraged. And the Lord has used the music to minister your heart today. And I think sometimes we take for granted the blessing in the church that we have. And the place in which God gives us here on this earth to come apart and to hear songs like that. And certainly to open up God's Word and hear preaching from God's Word. And so we want to thank the Lord for the blessings that He's given to us today. We're going to be in Judges chapter 13 this morning, Judges chapter 13, and we'll actually study Judges 13 through 16, and I know that sounds lengthy, but I promise to be timely this morning, and we'll look at the life of Samson, Judges 13, and we'll study the passages 13 through 16 this morning, and kind of give you an overview of the life of Samson. Once you've found your place in your Bible, if you'd stand out of respect to the Lord's Word, if you're able to this morning. And we're going to go ahead and read just a few verses in Judges chapter 13, and then we're going to read one verse in Judges chapter 16 this morning. Judges chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says there, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bear not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And so here in this passage, you have God's promise to the children of Israel, specifically to Manoah and his wife, that God would raise up a son from them, and that that man, Samson, would begin, through God's power and through God's help, to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. I want you to turn over to verse 24 and 25 of this same chapter. Judges chapter 13, verse 24. The Bible says there, "And the woman bare a son, and God called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." And so what you have here is God's promise fulfilled, and God's hand upon a young man by the name of Samson so that he could accomplish what God had called him to accomplish. And I wish we could stop this story right there and say, this is how Samson finished his life. But I want you to turn to chapter 16, and I want to read one verse there. Because we see what God intended to do with the life of Samson. But the Bible says in verse 21 of Judges 16, speaking of Samson, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. And brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." We understand what God intended to do with the life of Samson. And yet this is the picture that we have of Samson at the end of his life. He's bound by fetters, his eyes have been taken out, and he's grinding wheat in the prison house. Something that would have been the task of some of the lowest slaves in all the Philistine land. And here's what I want you to understand. Listen, Samson was created for more than what we see there in chapter 16. God intended to do so much more with his life, and surely God could have done so much more with his life, except for the way Samson lived his life. Now, I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Created for More. Created for More. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we do want to thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you for this church, Lord, that you've given to us. And we thank you for all those that have gathered here today. And Lord, I pray now as we open up your word and we study the life of Samson, Lord, and we see some of the decisions that he made, Lord, that it would be a warning to us. But we realize all that you created him for, and yet what his life led to because of the decisions that he made. And I pray that you help us to draw application in our own lives, Lord. Be with me, Lord, as I preach this morning. I pray that you'd use me now and be with the congregation, Lord, and please apply it to each and every one of our hearts and lives. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, Amen. And you may be seated. If you study the Old Testament, you come through the book of Joshua, and then it leads us to the book of the Judges. And you'll remember, many of you that are familiar with the book of Joshua, at the end of it, Joshua passes away. And then throughout the book of Judges, God uses men as they lead the children of Israel. Many times God would call them judges, but he would use them to deliver the children of Israel from the different things that they were dealing with. And one of the common themes throughout the book of Judges is this idea that the children of Israel would turn their back on God, that they would forsake the way that they were supposed to live. And certainly God had so much for the children of Israel, but they would forsake the way that they were supposed to live, and so God would allow them to be taken into captivity. And then as they would focus back on God, as they would return to Him, God would raise up a judge to be able to begin to deliver them from captivity. And such is the case here in Judges chapter 13. We just read there in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And so that's the setting in which we're studying this morning. The children of Israel have done once again, as they were apt to do so many times, they've done evil in the sight of the Lord, and God allows them to be taken into captivity by the Philistines. And so we see there that was for 40 years. And yet it's in this passage that we are introduced to a family, Manoah and his wife, and eventually their son Samson. And we find out here in this passage exactly what Samson was created for, the exact reason that God placed him here on this earth. I want you to read verse 2 again, because I want to kind of study this passage just for a few moments this morning. The Bible says, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." I want you to think about this. God had specifically handpicked this family, this husband and their wife, to give birth to this young man by the name of Samson. We see the Bible says there was a certain man. Listen, God had handpicked him. This was not just something that happened over time, but that God had chosen him. And listen, I'm reminded this morning that God has a plan for every human life. God has a plan for every human life. Understand this, that God is the giver of life. Every child that is formed has been created by God. And if God is the one who gives life, understand this, that every life has value. One of the lies of the world in which we live today is that only certain people matter. I want you to understand, God has created every living, breathing human being, and every human being has value. And we understand that this morning. We understand that every human being has value, not only because God gives them life, but because God has a plan for that life. God has a plan for that life. Understand this. Listen, initially, God's plan is the same for every human being. Initially, God's plan for your life is that you would call upon Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your personal Lord and Savior. It's God's plan that every person that has breath in their lungs would look to His Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary and accept His free gift of forgiveness. And I trust that those that are here today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I trust that you'll find time at the altar call this morning, at the invitation, to come forward and allow someone to take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you could know for sure you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. Because that's God's plan for your life. But understand this, after that, after salvation, God's plan is that every Christian would follow after Him. That they would allow Him to lead their lives. And certainly, listen, as God leads us, that's where God's plan may begin to differ from every individual. Because God may call someone and say, "This is where I want you to live. And this is what I want you to do as you're following after Me." And some of our young people, they're beginning to pray about God's will for their life and what God would have them to do. And listen, what a blessing that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And it ought to be that as we gather here today, that we know that we're doing what God has called us to do. I have, beyond the shadow of a doubt, know that I'm living where I'm supposed to be living. I know that I'm married to whom I'm supposed to be married to, and praise the Lord for that. That would be a bad confession to make on a Sunday morning, but I know that I'm married to who I'm supposed to be married to, doing what God has called me to do. And that ought to be the case in every one of our lives, that we would know exactly what God has called us to do, and we're fulfilling that command. And God's plan is for us to follow after Him. And understand this, listen, when you give Him complete control, then He can allow you to do exactly what you were created for. accomplish that which he had created you for. And we see the life of Samson. We see what God had created him for. And then we see the end of his life. And I want you to understand something. God had created Samson to begin to lead the children of Israel out of the land of the Philistines. He had a mandate from God. Look at verse 5, if you would, of chapter 13. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Listen, when God says something, God intends to keep that promise. And as we look at the life of Samson, I want you to understand something this morning, that none of the Philistines could keep Samson from doing what God had called him to do. There was no enemy that could keep Samson from doing what God had called him to do. Even Satan himself could not keep Samson from doing what God had called him to do. The only person that could keep Samson from doing what God had called him to do was Samson himself. He's the only person that could remove himself from the will of God. And we find out from this passage that Samson had God's hand upon him from the womb. The Bible tells us that he was to be a Nazarite from the womb, that he was to take this vow, and that a razor was not to come on his head, and several other things that would take place, that this would signify this vow that he had made to God to be a Nazarite. Look at verse 24 and 25 of that same chapter. Again, we read that as our text this morning. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. And so we see there, from the very beginning of his life, God's clear hand was upon him, God's hand of blessing, God's hand of moving, and God was using him. And you'd go through and you'd study in chapters 14 and 15, and you'd see some amazing things. In fact, I want to just highlight just a few of these things. Look at chapter 14 and verse 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as if he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. It's pretty remarkable what happens here. He's there in Timnath, and this lion comes upon him. And the Bible tells us he had no weapons in his hand. He took that lion, the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, and with his bare hands began to fight that lion. And the Bible says he rent him as if he would have rent a kid, a smaller animal. That idea of rent means that very literally Samson, with his two hands, took that lion and tore him in two pieces. It's pretty incredible what God allowed him to do with his bare hands because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In chapter 14 and verse 19, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. And again, in another situation, God's Spirit came upon him from the enemy of the Philistines, and he was able to slay 30 of them there with God's Spirit upon him. As we continue to read in chapter 15 and verse 14, the Bible says, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. It's pretty incredible what God begins to do in this young man's life. And as he is following God's hand, and as God is leading him, he's doing these things. He takes this jawbone of this donkey and is able to slay 1,000 of the Philistines there. And yet we see that as God's hand was upon him, and when God's Spirit moved upon him, there was nothing that could stop Samson. Yeah. But I want you to understand, Samson wasn't just created to be a strong man. He was created to use that strength for God's purpose. He wasn't just created to go about and show everyone his strength. No, God had a plan for his life. And I'm reminded this morning that the gifts and the talents and the abilities that we have all been given aren't just to be showing off to other people, but they're to do what God has called us to do. And God has a plan for our lives. And as we follow after God's plan, he can lead us and guide us and allow us to accomplish great things for him. Listen, in Samson's life, when he was in the Spirit of God, there were no limits to what he could accomplish. When God was moving him, yes, he could deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines with God's hand upon him. There were no limits. Nothing could limit him from that. You know, I'm reminded of a verse that's often quoted but seldom lived. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And listen, many times we quote that verse and we say that verse, but many times we do not live by the truths of that verse. But the truth is this morning, as you're following God's leading and you're doing what God has called you to do, you certainly can do all things through Christ when He gives you strength in your life. And so we see here what Samson, while he was created for a purpose, the only way for him to accomplish that purpose was to follow God. Follow the leading of God. And I want to remind you again this morning that we've been created for a purpose as well. God has a calling for your life. And the only way to accomplish that purpose is following God's plan for our lives. You realize that means choosing what the Spirit desires over what the flesh wants to do? Choosing the spirit over the flesh. You see, there's a constant battle that's waged in the Christian's life over choosing what God wants me to do and choosing what my flesh wants to do. And there's a constant war that's taking place all the time. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, if you're a Christian, this is the way you're to live. You're to follow after God and not put yourself in a place of temptation so that you can be tempted by the devil. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see this powerful passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Doing what God has called us to do, following the Spirit rather than the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says there, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a pretty simple process that God has given to us when we're doing what God has called us to do and when we're walking in the Spirit, we're allowing Him to lead us, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look what he goes on to say there in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You understand this, you cannot please the flesh and please the Spirit of God at the same time. It's impossible. Those two cannot coexist. The Bible says they are contrary the one to the other. So Christian, you're either choosing to please the Spirit of God or you're choosing to do what you want to do. But I want you to understand something this morning. There's only one way to accomplish what God has called for you to accomplish, and that is to walk daily in the Spirit, choosing what the Spirit has for your life. Amen. And even this morning, as we come to church, there's a battle raging in our minds. This morning, as you got up this morning, no doubt the flesh said, stay in bed. You don't need to come to church. Just call the church and have someone take over your ministry. No one will miss you today. And there's a war that goes on, whether to please the flesh or to please the Spirit. You realize in our minds we're constantly dealing with a battle of choosing the Spirit over the flesh. What we want to think about, what the flesh desires to think about, and what the Spirit desires for us to think about. I'm telling you, this battle is waged on a daily basis in every part of our lives, choosing the Spirit and what God wants for our lives over what the flesh might choose. Look what he says in chapter 6 of Galatians in verse 8. The Bible says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so there's consequences when we choose the flesh. The Bible says, as we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. Understand this, when you constantly choose the flesh as a Christian, at the end of the day, you have absolutely nothing to show for it. There's nothing there. It's corruption. There's nothing to show for it. But when you sow to the Spirit, the Bible says of the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. You have blessings both in this life and throughout eternity for living the way God has called you to live. And so we see here this constant battle. And daily, by the way, we will choose either victory in the Spirit of God or defeat by pleasing the flesh. That's our decision to make this morning. And so as we see Samson, what he was called to do, the direct mandate from God, I want to ask you this morning, what has God called you to do? What has God called you to accomplish in your life? And next question that we ask ourselves this morning is, am I doing all that I can so that God can accomplish that through my life? Am I pleasing the Spirit of God? Am I following after Him? Am I making the decisions on a daily basis so that God can use my life to accomplish all that He has? And so we see what Samson was created for. And certainly he was created for more than we see in chapter 16. But then I want you to see that Samson chose to please the flesh rather than yield to the Spirit. Time after time in his life, Samson, back in the book of Judges, chose to please the flesh rather than yield to the Spirit. And by the way, as I read the lives of Samson, don't you think it should have been easy when Samson had seen the Lord's Spirit come upon him to be able to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis and not choose the flesh? And yet we see the exact opposite here from the Scriptures. I want you to go back to chapter 14. Look at verse 1. The Bible says therein, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. I want to stop you right there because the city of Timnath was a Philistine city. It was a place where Samson had no business being, and Samson knew that. And by the way, isn't God's plan for Samson's life to begin to deliver the children of Israel out of the Philistines? And yet here he is, he's gone down to Timnath to associate with those people. And the Bible says in verse 2, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of the brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, watch this, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. For she pleaseth me well. Listen, Samson had all the knowledge that he had no business being in that place. He realized, listen, as the leader of the children of Israel, my job is to follow God, and God's Spirit will come upon me, and I'll begin to lead the children of Israel away from the Philistines. And listen, he says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but this is what I want to do. She pleaseth me well. This is my choice. This is what I want to do. And listen, you can just see the mindset in Samson's life there. And Samson knows better. He knows this shouldn't be a part of his life, and yet he wants to please the flesh. Look at chapter 16 in verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1 there, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. I want to stop again because Gaza is another city that's controlled by the Philistines. And listen, Samson goes into this harlot. And we can all understand Samson knows better than both of these things. Samson knows this is not what God would have for him as he's supposed to be leading the children of Israel out of the land of the Philistines. And yet he goes and he does only what the flesh wants to do. Look at verse 4 of this same chapter. The Bible says, and again it came to pass that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, another Philistine-controlled city, whose name was Delilah. And I want you to understand and see this attitude that he has towards the enemy. Instead of avoiding the enemy, he continues to draw closer and closer to them. And as is true in Samson's life, every decision to please the flesh compounds on the last one. It's like a snowball effect as we go through life, as we start choosing the flesh. Listen, it begins to be second nature. That's exactly where Samson's at in his life. Listen, by the way, that's why the Bible tells us to not make provision for the flesh. Because God understands the propensity of mankind and the fleshly nature to begin to want more and to do more as we follow after the flesh. And by the way, once we yield to it, eventually the flesh dictates what you will do. It eventually starts calling the shots and making the decisions. Look at chapter 16 and verse 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass, Delilah here speaking to him, and she had been paid to recruit, or she'd been recruited to betray Samson by the Philistines to find out the source of his strength. The Bible says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. I want you to understand something. This is what Samson had chosen. You think there's happiness? The Bible says his soul is vexed unto death on a daily basis. Delilah comes to him and says, what is the source of your strength? And keeps coming to him over and over and over again. And the Bible says in verse 17 that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak. And mark this phrase in your Bible. and be like any other man. You see, the problem is Samson wasn't created to be like any other man. He was created for more than just living like any other Philistine would have lived. And I want you to understand this morning, as God has called us and as God has set us apart here in this life, listen, when we choose the flesh, can I say this? We're living like any other man in the world would live. When we choose to do what we want to do, there's no difference between me and someone that's unsaved. Because I'm choosing to please the flesh. I'm choosing only what I would choose to do. Be like any other man. Listen, I wonder what God desires to accomplish through us, but is unable to because we aren't yielding to the Spirit of God. I wonder what calling God has placed in our lives. Listen, the victories that could be won if we'll just follow after Him and we'll just allow His Spirit to lead us. But listen, it means choosing what He wants for my life over what I want for my life. It means that some things are going to be pleasing to the flesh, but I realize they're not something that as a Christian I need to be involved in, and therefore I'm going to choose the Spirit of God and do what He wants me to do. And can I say, listen, when you do that, you'll be much happier. There'll be peace and there'll be a joy as you live the Christian life. And I realized this morning that every time I fail in sin is a time in which I yielded to the flesh instead of pleasing God. It's a time in which, watch this, I could have been victorious, but chose not to. I made the decision to please the flesh rather than find victory through the Spirit of God. Look at verse 19 of this same chapter. Judges chapter 16, verse 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You realize he had been living in the flesh for so long that he didn't even realize the difference of when God's hand was upon him and when God had removed his hand of blessing. That's a sad place to be in our lives. To live in such a way that as we live through life, we can't even determine, is God blessing me? Or has God removed his hand of blessing? You see, Samson went out as he would have at any other time, but he had no realization that God's Spirit had departed from him, that now he was walking in his own strength, and surely in his own strength he would be defeated. The Bible says in verse 21, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." The picture of Samson that we have here is that he's there. His eyes have been taken out. He has no eyesight, completely blind. He's been shackled, and by the way, he's been shackled before, but God's delivered him from those times. But now he's shackled with brass. He's got the fetters on his hands. And the Bible says he's grinding there in the prison house, and that's simply a reference to the fact that every day he would be at the mill grinding the wheat. And again, I think I mentioned it before, but this would have been the lowest task of any slave. Now, I want you to understand something. Here is a man that should have been out leading the children of Israel to victory. That's what God intended to do with his life. And the picture that we see here, and listen, we look at this picture and we say, Samson, you were created for more than this. You were created for more than being blind, being shackled, and grinding wheat at the mill. That's something anybody could do. That's something any criminal in the land of the Philistines could have been doing. And yet here's Samson. We say, Samson, you're created for more than that. And yet I draw a correlation in our Christian lives. Because when we begin to choose the flesh, we begin to be a slave to sin. We're blinded to the sin in our lives. We're shackled to it. We're doing the lowest of all things, serving the devil, when we've been created for more. We've been created as a Christian to live in victory by following after God. Yeah. And he says, and I can lead you in victory if you'll simply follow after me. And while we'd say Samson was created for more, I want to say that many times in our Christian life, the things that we do, we've been created for so much more than that. We've been created to live in victory. But here's what I love about this passage. God never left Samson and was waiting for him when Samson would return. Look at verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice on the Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may fill the pillars of the house whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Verse 28, the Bible says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." You see a prayer of redemption there. O Lord God, remember me. I love the attributes that the Bible gives us of our Heavenly Father. I love the fact that our God is all-powerful. I love that He's all-knowing. I love the fact that, listen, we have the Holy Spirit of God with us, and He can be everywhere all at the same time. But I think one of my favorite attributes of God is that God is a forgiving God. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, in fact, I want you to turn over there and see what God has for us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 this morning. The Bible says there, if we confess our sins, watch this, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's an incredible description of our Heavenly Father, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I love those words, faithful and just, because that is what God is. And God returned to Samson. And God strengthened Samson, and God used Samson one final time. The Bible goes on to say, so that those that he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And yet, the truth is, Samson was created for more than being bound with fetters, having no eyesight, and grinding wheat. And yet, that's what pleasing the flesh accomplished in his life. That's what serving himself accomplished in his life. Being blind, being chained up in grinding wheat. Living in defeat when he should have been living in victory. And by the way, is it any wonder that the Bible is filled with scripture after scripture warning us to yield to the Spirit of God? Over and over again. And yet probably the biggest mistake, the biggest sin each of us will make in our lives is that of choosing what I want to do. Pleasing the flesh. And many times, with this mindset, it's just temporary. I just want to have this pleasure in this moment, and then I'll get back to serving God later. Just this one little part of my life. And while we've been created by God to accomplish His purpose and His plan, Satan desires to blind us to yield so that we would yield to the flesh. And his hope is that one day you too will be bound like Samson. That you'll be bound by sin. And by the way, I think we've all met Christians before that are living in defeat today because they chose time after time to please themselves and to please the flesh. And we'd look at Samson and we'd say, Samson, you were created for more than that. You're created for more than being a prisoner to the Philistines, because so many times before he had been a prisoner of the Philistines, but the Spirit of God had come upon him. But eventually he chose the flesh so much that God had to remove his hand of blessing upon him. And I want to say this morning, the only one that can hinder God's work in your life is you. Right. as you strive to please the Lord, when you please the flesh, you remove God's hand of blessing from your life. And as Christians, we've all been created for more than slavery to sin. Like Samson was created for more, he was created to be victorious as he followed the Lord. You and I have been created to be victorious as we live the Christian life. We're created for more than just simply being servants and slaves to sin. Created for more. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The life of Samson, certainly God had so much more to accomplish in his life. And yet it serves as a warning to you and I, doesn't it, this morning? Of what God desires to do and what God desires to accomplish in our lives. And yet we ought to heed to that warning today and realize that my life is not my own. It's not my responsibility to please the flesh. I'm to please my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The invitation this morning is a time to, as God has spoken to your heart, to come to the altar and do business with God. And yet I wonder what maybe God is hoping to accomplish or God has wanting to accomplish in our lives that we're holding Him back from. As we pray here in just a moment, then we'll stand and sing a verse of invitation. The altar will be open and we invite you to use it this morning. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we're reminded of the life of Samson. And Lord, all that you wanted to accomplish through him and yet how he kept you from accomplishing those things in his life. And I pray that it would serve as a warning to us, Lord, that we would not please the flesh, Lord, but that we would please the Spirit in our everyday life, doing what you've called us to do. And I pray, Lord, for all that have gathered here today, that you've spoken to our hearts, Lord, I pray that we would be willing to make the changes in our lives that are needed. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.